I'll turn the rest of this time over to Brother Brent. You come now. Lord bless you as you preach.
Let me invite you to take your Bible with me this morning and turn to Romans chapter 1 for our text this morning. Romans chapter 1. Looking forward to a wonderful week with you. And as we begin our time together around the Word of God, we're going to be looking this morning at a verse that I hope will be a tremendous help and challenge to you as we look at the gospel. Understanding this morning how foundation the gospel is for all that we are and do. And this morning, my hope is this. My desire is that if you're here this morning, and maybe you've never truly understood the gospel, what it's all about, that this morning would be the day that you understand the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to you and how necessary it is for your salvation from your sin and to give you a relationship with God. If you are here this morning and you already know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, I know Him. I hope that this message will be a tremendous reminder of what the gospel is about, not only how it applies to you, but I hope that it might be a help to you as you share the gospel with other people. What is the gospel? The gospel simply means good news. It's the good news that God has for us, the good news of a God who loves us and has provided a way for us to have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 16, please. The Bible says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Look this way, please. We're going to have two main truths to understand out of this passage this morning. Number one, I want us to see the central figure of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the central figure of the gospel. The gospel is all about a person, Jesus Christ. And there are some very key things to understand if we're going to have a clear understanding of the gospel. We need to understand who Christ is. The Bible says very plainly here in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Jesus Christ, of Christ. So what are some key things that we must understand about Jesus Christ? By the way, let me just say this morning as we are getting into this. Because the gospel is all about Jesus Christ, we need to understand this. If I did not understand or if I have never understood who Jesus Christ is and have therefore not believed in Him, all that God's Word has revealed into me, I may have prayed a prayer, but that does not mean that I have received Him. You must understand the gospel and understand who Christ is before you can then believe the gospel and receive Christ as your Savior. So what are some things that we must understand and believe about Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Three truths. Number one, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This speaks of His deity. Folks, Jesus Christ was not just a good man. He wasn't just a religious teacher. He was not just another historical figure that made an impact upon humanity. Jesus Christ was 100% God, and yet He was also 100% man. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. John chapter 8, we find that Jesus Christ was threatened, His life was threatened by the Jews. Why? Because He said, I am. And what they understood that when Jesus said, I am, He was claiming to be the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Remember what God said to Moses? He told Moses, He said, look, when Pharaoh asks who it is that sent you, say, I am hath sent you. What did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 8? He says that before Abraham was, I am. He was proving that He was God in the flesh. He wasn't just God, though. He was also man, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. That speaks of His literal physical birth. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man. He had skin and hair, and He breathed, and He was hungry, and He was tired, just like we are. He was human. But you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. So Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, He was like us. He was hungry. He was tired. He was tempted just like us. But as God,
He proved his deity by knowing the thoughts of men, by reading the thoughts of men. He proved his power over nature by calming the sea. He showed his power over death by raising the dead. He showed his power over Satan even by casting out demons. And he showed his power over sin and sickness by healing people and forgiving them of their sins. He was 100% God and 100% man. You say, it's hard for me to understand that. It's a mystery. Well, guess what? 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. It says God was manifest in the flesh. Hey, listen, you say, I can't wrap my mind around it. How could he be God and be man? I don't know. But Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And the Bible says, you may not be able to explain it, but you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible tells us if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, you are Antichrist. You've denied him. You must believe that Jesus is Christ in order to be saved. He is the Son of God. Number two, Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for men. This deals with his death. You see, the fact that he's the Son of God deals with his deity. The fact that he is the sacrifice of men, it refers to his death, that Jesus Christ died a literal physical death. Why? Because you and I are sinners. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, Jesus Christ, for the unjust, that you and me, that he might bring us unto God. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins on his body on the tree. 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. Folks, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died a literal death. Why? Because we are sinners. We as sinners have been separated from God by our sin. When God created man, man had an unbroken relationship with him. But when man sinned, that relationship was broken. And since that time, man has been separated from God by their sin. Romans 5:12, whereas by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by our nature and by our actions, our sinfulness against God, we're separated from God. And God realized there was no way for man to earn their way back to God. But there was only one way that sins could be forgiven. And from the Old Testament all the way to Christ, we see the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, the perfect lamb without spot or blemish that was slain and the blood shed as a picture of the one who was to come and to take away sins. And that's why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus Christ, said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary, he was slain as the Lamb of God. And that blood was shed to pay for all of the sins of all of humanity for all time. He suffered once for sins. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. Why must you believe in the death of Jesus Christ? Why is that essential to understand the gospel? Because if you deny the sacrifice of Christ and you say that his death was not sufficient, what you are saying is this: what God could not do to provide for my sins, I can add something. God lacked something that I can add for my sins to be forgiven. Look, friend, your sin is not forgiven by you being a good person. Your sin is not forgiven by you being baptized or being confirmed or having some person confer Christ upon you. There's only one way that your sins could be forgiven, and Jesus Christ did that when he died on Calvary's cross. And you need to understand, nothing that you can do can earn your sins forgiveness, because the price has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's a third truth you must believe about Jesus Christ, and it's this, that Jesus Christ is the sovereign over death. This speaks of his deliverance. You see, you must believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, he says, and I have delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. As the angel said, he's not here, he is risen, just as he said. Acts 10:40, the Bible says, Him God raised the third day and showed Him openly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 tell us very plainly that He was not only seen of the disciples and of others, but then He was then seen by over 500 people at one time. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a literal event that happened. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's why He was able to say in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? What He was saying is this, by My power of resurrection, because Christ rose from the dead, He is the one who is to able to give you life. Who had the power of death? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that Jesus Christ, that He, that through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And Jesus Christ, by rising from this dead, destroyed the power of death and him that had the power over death, that is the devil. And He conquered sin and death. And as the one who rose from the dead, He is able to give life. Here's a question for you. Is it essential to believe that Christ rose from the dead in order to be saved? Absolutely. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why must I believe it? If you deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are denying the entirety of the gospel. You are denying that Jesus Christ was who He said He was and that God did what He said He did. The Apostle Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 15 this way, that if Christ is dead, if He did not rise from the dead, then we are still in our sins. And we have no hope. We do have hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And He is the one who can give life. This is the deliverance. Jesus Christ is the one who is now able to give us life. Why? Because He rose from the dead. Sin did not win. God won when He rose His Son from the dead. Three things we must believe about Jesus Christ. The central figure of the gospel is Jesus Christ. By the way, if you say, you know what? I prayed a prayer when I was a child or when I was a teenager. Look, praying a prayer doesn't save you. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. If you never believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He was a sacrifice for men and the sovereign over death, and you not only understanding but believing God's Word and putting your faith and trust in Him alone, if you've not believed that, my friend, you are not saved. You may have a profession. You do not have a possession. You do not have Jesus Christ, because you must believe all three of those truths. To neglect any one or not to believe any one of those is to deny the gospel. You must believe that about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. We need to understand this is saying it is full faith and dependence in a person, Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did. He is the central figure of the gospel. Let me show you, second of all, the central focus of the gospel. Why? Look back at our verse. Romans 1:16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the central focus, the figure. Here's the central focus. For it, the word it refers to the gospel, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look this way, please. The gospel is the power of God. Listen, that is one of the clearest definitions of what the gospel does. The gospel is God's power to save. Look at me. That's why I can tell you, prayer doesn't save you. Salvation is not in a prayer. If the gospel is all about a person, for the gospel is the power of God. It means it's all about Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believes. That believes what? The gospel. Who is the gospel about? Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. What is the central focus of the gospel? Number one is the fact that it's God's power. It is God's divine power. For what purpose? Why is the power needed? Well, it says it's the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation means to rescue or to deliver. Who needs to be rescued? Who needs to be delivered? We do. We do. Why? Because we're in our sins. We're separated from God, and we are in our sinful condition. We are corrupted by our sin. We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. We are corrupted by our sins. We are also controlled by our sins. Sin dominates us, and we don't have any. We're under its power and authority. Sin ultimately condemns us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, "And I saw all the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to the things that were written in the book, according to their works." You know what that is? That is the life. It is the recorded sins of the person that stands as evidence of their sin against God. That's why Romans 3:20 says that all the world is guilty before God. Our sins stand as evidenced against us. And verse 20 of Revelation 15 says this, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire because of the evidence of their sin." Look at me. Our sin condemns us ultimately apart from Christ. And God loves us. That 2 Peter 3:9 says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why is it that God sent his Son? It was his love for us. God commendeth, he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because he saw us in our condition. He saw that apart from him, we would perish. Jesus warned people. He said, "Nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Apart from Christ, we have no hope, and he wants in his love to rescue us from the sin, from its corrupting influence, from its controlling power, and from its condemnation, because he loves us, and he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to be reconciled, that relationship with God that's been broken by sin, to be fixed, to be made right, so that we can have a relationship with him, to know him and love him and serve him. It's the power of God unto salvation, to save us. But it's conditional. You better understand this. The gospel is sufficient to save the world. By the way, here's a question for you. Is everyone in this world going to be saved? No. Not at all. Matter of fact, Jesus made it very plain. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when we don't see people coming to Christ. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be that go in thereat. Broad is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." By the way, you ever study Jesus' earthly ministry? More people rejected him than received him. Why are we surprised today when people reject him? We shouldn't be. But is that negative? Does that mean we have no hope? No. No. Can God save everyone? Oh, yes. Listen, the whole world is savable because of what Christ did, but not all the world will be saved. That's why the Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power of God to save every individual, every single one. Not that all are going to come to Christ. Many in their own wickedness are going to turn away from the God who loves them and reject the love and the provision of God for their soul. But God loves them and wants them to be saved. Provided that through his Son, Jesus Christ. And every individual who believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. It's the power of God to save not only the mass, the numbers, but it's every individual. You say, "You don't know what I've done." I don't care what you've done. That's between you and God, not me. "You don't know how wicked I've been. You don't know how many times I've blasphemed God's name, the horrible sins that I've done." No, I don't, but God knows, and he has already paid the penalty for everyone, and he will forgive you if you'll come to Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone, but they must believe. Believe what? We've already established this fact, that believes the gospel, believes in Jesus Christ. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The verse ends this way. You know what that means? All of humanity is really divided up into two people groups. You are either a Jew or a non-Jew. That's who you are. This morning, you're either Jewish or part Jewish or you're not Jewish. You're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter who you are. Some people thought because they were Jewish, they were very specially favored in God's eyes, and how could God ever want to redeem those old Gentile dogs? God so loved the what? Everybody. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. The reality is this, is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has your life been changed by the power of the gospel? Can you say, you know, I can beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know Jesus Christ and I have believed Him. I'm not counting on a prayer to save me. I have trusting in Jesus Christ. I have acknowledged who He is and I have believed and received Him as my Savior. My life has been changed. I've been saved. I've been delivered from my sin by the power of the gospel. If you haven't, you can be today if you personally will believe the gospel.